Which commandment is the greatest, they asked. It's not, in fact, a difficult question. How else can you even imagine Jesus answering? The first commandment is based in the simple statement delivered through Moses. I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. There will be no room for other gods. Moses goes on to interpret the law to the people. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your might. The first commandment, the greatest commandment, can be a little hard to grasp. Literally, we can't grasp God. We can't wrap our arms around God. We can't even wrap our heads around God. So how are we supposed to wrap our whole hearts, our whole souls, our strength around God? And yet God, in all love, commands nothing less. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. How often do we really find ourselves just loving God? We spend a whole lot of time and energy and prayer breath blaming God and berating God, bargaining and bartering with God. We can get up a whole head of steam second-guessing God and stressing over God. How often do we give God the benefit of the doubt? Let God be let God and let love flow. Barbara Brown Taylor describes at the end of the day giving God a peck on the cheek while she was drying up inside for want of making love. That's why it starts with loving God, because a loving God, the God who loves us, knows that without that loving relationship, we are lost, adrift. Love that isn't fed fades. The first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts and souls, our minds and strength. And a second is like it. The second is like loving God. Loving our neighbor is like loving God because each of them, all of them, whether we like them or not, is made in the image of God. And that's why loving God comes first, because if we're stuck on blaming and bargaining and berating and bartering and second-guessing and stressing over God, we'll do the same to one another. Those ones made in the image of God, the ones we can see and wrap our arms around or push away, wrap our hearts around or freeze out. C.S. Lewis wrote, "You have never talked to a mere mortal. It is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors." It is through loving the holy, living, immortal God that we learn how to love our holy, living, immortal neighbor. The danger of neglecting the first commandment is that we forget to love not only God, but our neighbors and ourselves. Martin Luther, in his Small Catechism, began every interpretation of each of the Ten Commandments with, "We should fear and love God so that." So the fifth commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." "What does this mean?" asks the catechumen. Luther answers, "We should fear and love God, that we may not hurt or harm our neighbor in his body, but help and befriend him in every bodily need. For the love of God, we should not hurt or harm, but befriend our neighbor, that one made in the image of God." And that should be the end of it. Love one another for the love of God. Except for this. We need to make room in our lives for loving God, or else the space will be filled with everything else that should come second, even things that should come last. We need to make room in our lives to love God first. Love the God, Lord your God, with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. there should be no room for other gods. Jesus tells his disciple elsewhere regarding children. Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were fastened around your neck and you were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. And I'm sorry to say that we are failing our children. We are causing them to stumble and fall. We're causing them to stumble and fall through our addiction to violence, our idolatry of weaponry, laying our fear of God on our guns, the things that should come last, coming too often first to hand. I am sick of preaching a Sunday after a school shooting. That shouldn't even be a turn of phrase, but it's all too familiar. SWAT teams practice active shooter drills in our schools during the vacations. Every school has a plan in place. I don't know a single teenager who hasn't heard threats in their school, their community. My daughter was remembering yesterday, the last one at her school. She didn't go to school that day. She was too frightened. And I had to respect and accept that. Her brother did some sort of statistical analysis and decided he was good to go. And I had to respect and accept that. And I dropped him off at the school door, and I cried all the way home. I don't know anyone who hasn't been touched by this. I know children who were in Chardon and Strongsville high schools when shots were fired. I know teachers who have lost students to gun violence. I don't know a teacher who hasn't wondered what they would do. The boy who ended up on the wrong end of that gun on Friday, who killed one, hurt others, dealt incalculable harm to his community, and then killed himself. So much grief. He and his victims and their loved ones and their teachers and helpers all bear the image of God. And now that image has been blooded once more. Whoever places a stumbling block before a child, it would be better for him to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Our idolatry of readily available weaponry is, our love of guns is, I am afraid, the stumbling block that we set in the paths of our children. For the love of God, we need to do better. Whether it's through self-regulation, giving up our guns, through legislation for better controls, we need to do better for the love of God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Loving God can be as easy as breathing, for the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. Loving God can be as easy as letting the Spirit breathe for us. And loving God can be as hard as holding the hand of grief, as forgiving the one who hurts and harms, as tricky as loving ourselves and our neighbors, those made in the image of God, and doing something about it, something to keep the blood from staining those images. It can be hard, but for the love of God, remembering whose image we bear, who loves us and forgives us all, we have to try. And so I'd like to end in prayer. I found this one by Malcolm Boyd. to which I've made a few personal additions. Let us pray. God, take fire and burn away our guilt and our lying hypocrisies. Take water and wash away our brothers and our sisters' blood, which we have caused to be shed. Take hot sunlight and dry the tears of those we have hurt and heal their wounded souls, minds, and bodies. Take love and root it in our hearts so that brotherhood and sisterhood may grow, transforming the dry desert of our prejudices and hatreds. Take our imperfect prayers and purify them so that we mean what we pray and are prepared to give ourselves to you along with our words through Jesus Christ, who did not disdain to take our humanness upon him and live among us, sharing our life, our joys, and our pains. For loving hearts are broken until they rest in you. Amen.
Amen.